We are joined right now by the head basketball coach at Tennessee. Sixth season with the Volunteers. He was the 2019 Naismith College Coach of the Year, a six-time Conference Coach of the Year. Tennessee is currently 15-6 overall. They're number 25 in the AP poll. They're at Vanderbilt on Wednesday night. My guest is Rick Barnes. Rick, it's been a minute or two since we last spoke. How are you doing? How is your life right now, Rick?
Hey, Jim. Good to hear your voice. You know, we're doing fine. It's been a year, I think, we've all kind of gone through where it's been up and down and a lot of uncertainty. And right now with our team, you know, we've been very inconsistent the last couple of weeks. And you expect a little bit of that early in the year, but not this time of year. But the whole year has been inconsistent. Overall, you know, these guys have worked hard and tried to work through all the different issues we've had to deal with this year and just need to finish strong.
It's good to hear your voice too, Rick. Rick Barnes joining us. All right, so why don't we jump right into that? You dropped a tough one, Rick, to Kentucky on Saturday. How do you go about processing that particular loss and then getting ready for Vandy on Wednesday?
Well, you know, the difference in the game here and there, Josiah James played a big role in our win up there. You know, he had a double-double up there, and we didn't have him in the game here, which kept us from maybe spreading out a little bit more than we were able to do Saturday. And Kentucky shot the ball well in the first half. They really shot it well, and we didn't really have a great shooting game at all. And I thought we started pressing. You know, we have two young guys that, you know, have been spectacular at times, and they've struggled at times. And they had 50 points against Kentucky up there. They didn't fare so well this week. We knew Kentucky would do exactly what they did, crowd the floor, not to give those guys a chance to play one-on-one like we were able to do up there with them. And I just thought we got anxious as a team, and when shots weren't going in, we just kind of got away from what we needed to do. And our inside game, our post game that you need to have on days when you're not making perimeter shots, it just wasn't there.
Rick Barnes joining us. Rick, I wanted to ask about those two young guys that you referenced. Why don't we start with Jaden Springer? He arrived, for those who don't know, as a freshman as part of a class that generated a lot of buzz. And in four of his last five games, he's put up 23 points, 30 points, 21, and 16. So what do you make of the way he has shown up as a freshman?
Jim, you know, it's interesting with Jaden, and Keon was falling into this too. You know, and I think any young player this year, freshman for the most part, they've had as much a difficult year to get settled into college basketball because they didn't have the full summer, the full fall, the way you like to have with them. And Jaden fought some injuries in the fall, and so he really, really didn't get himself going to where he needed to be from a conditioning standpoint until somewhere in the middle of January, really. And nothing that he could do other than go as hard, and he was going as hard as he possibly could. But, you know, we also, because of the COVID shutdowns and stops and starts, it affected the young guys so much more than it did the older guys, as you would expect. I mean, the older guys have been through it before and could pick up things and move on quicker. But I'm sure we're not the only team that's dealt with those stops and starts, and you felt like almost every time you're doing the same thing as a team, and with young players you couldn't move as far as quickly ahead as you wanted to, trying to keep them up to speed to where they needed to be. And there's a lot we didn't get to put in this year. We haven't been able to just because of where we are with our starts and stops.
Sure. Rick Barnes joining us. All right, so we talked about Jaden Springer. You mentioned Keon Johnson. So what you have, though, you've got some good young players, Rick, and you've got some coming in as well. In fact, there's a father of a player who's coming next year who said a big part of the reason that his son chose Tennessee was because of your history of developing players. You know, guys like Jordan Bone, P.J. Tucker, and the like. I'm curious, when you're looking for guys that you think might fit what you're trying to do, exactly what are you looking for? What kind of a player fits best with what you're trying to do there?
The guys, Jim, that fit best in ours, it's the guys that have that DNA where they are just eaten up with wanting to get better. Where they, you know, a lot. I think most people you talk to, they think their kids work hard. They're, you know, and I think kids in general think they work really hard. They don't really know what it is. They just don't truly understand what that next level work is about. And even from here to the next level is even more so. But we want those guys that are already they, and that's why during the recruiting process we are brutally honest with how we go about things, and we want those guys that say, hey, I want it, I want to come in, I want to work, I want to be the best I can be. And guys that really buy into that are the ones that have the success here.
You know, I would imagine, Rick, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that P.J. Tucker, I know for a fact now, obviously he knows how to work. He understands this concept of next level hard work. He wrote, though, and this is a big P.J. Tucker house. I love the guy. He said, quote, "I came with the hunger, but you showed me how to fine tune it to become a beast." How did you go about fine tuning that hunger with him and helping him maximize his potential? What was your time like with him?
Well, you know, Jim, when you think about P.J. Tucker, you know, he grew up in North Carolina, right, you know, Raleigh area, and was not recruited by any ACC school. And you got four of them there that were in a, you know, they could touch him as much as they wanted to, and wasn't being recruited. I think maybe UNC Wilmington might have been recruiting him, and Frank Haith from North Carolina. And he had told me about him. My college roommate was still coaching at Lenoir Ryan where I went to school. And I called John, and I asked him, I said, "Tell me about P.J. Tucker." He said, "All I can tell you is everybody says he's overweight. He's not tall enough." He says, "All I can tell you, he always wins. He always wins." He said, "I don't care who he's playing against in this state. The best players that are all these, you know, great players, suppose he always wins." And when he came, his very first workout at Texas, he couldn't make it. I mean, he really, first individual workout, he literally was on the side of the floor. He had thrown up in a garbage can. He was laying there, and he called his mom and said to his mom, "Mom, I can't do this." He said, "I thought I could. I can't." And the next day, first of all, we found out the reason being he had not eaten all day. He, you know, really on his own for the first time, going to classes, hadn't eaten. And the next day, Jim, he came in, and it's like somebody had totally flipped the switch. He got going. And the one thing you realized early about him, one of the most fierce competitors you've ever could be around. And I told him, we were talking a year or so ago, I'd read an article where he had made up his mind when he was overseas playing, you know, I think he what, spent 6-7 years over there. And he came out at a time when the NBA was just changing over. That, think about that team that won that championship, I think, the year he came out. Tim Duncan, Robert Horry, and David Robson was a typical front line in that league. And when P.J. came out, you know, he was player of the year. I used to get on him. I said, "You got to work on your perimeter jump shot." And he would say to me, "Coach, I don't need to shoot a jump shot. I can score on anybody inside," which he could. I mean, that was no joke about that. But he didn't make it. And he went overseas. And I'd read an article where he said he really wishes, you know, he had given up on coming back to the NBA. And I told him, I said, "P.J., that's a lie. You never gave up on wanting to come back here." And then as the game changed and he came back, a guy, and people have no idea how, I mean, he was an amazing scorer in college, especially around the rim, which that game up there now is different than it was then in college, obviously, too. But you know what? He spoke with Grant Williams, and he said, "You just got to do two things if you want to play in this league." He said, "One, you got to accept a role." And he said, "My role is playing defense and knocking down the corner three when I need to shoot it." But he changed his mindset. And I tell guys all the time, I mean, he was a guy that wanted to score every time he got the ball, where he is totally now a guy that's the ultimate team player. And he's always been about one thing, though, winning. Winning was always the most important thing to him.
That's an amazing response to me. Rick Barnes joining us. And, you know, my big takeaway from that, Rick, two things. One, mindset, right? Everything starts mm-hmm. with a guy's mindset no matter what. And number two, that point that he made when he first came in, that people were saying, and that he was in the North Carolina area. Any one of these big schools could have had him, but they didn't want him because he was overweight. He wasn't tall enough. But what you knew about him was he just won. He always won. How do you identify that? And what separates a guy who always wins from others who think they work hard and would consider themselves winners?
Well, that's a great question, because I tell you what, that's the hardest thing to figure out. Like, I can throw Grant Williams in there. Grant Williams from Charlotte, North Carolina, not one ACC team offered him either. But when I saw Grant Williams, again, overweight, you could tell he had a good feel, but one day I'm watching him and I see him spin baseline and go up and dunk the ball for the first time. It looked like he put his elbow on the rim, which everybody said he's too small. He plays below the rim. And so my thought when I saw him was, hey, if he's got that in him, we just got to get it out of him more consistently. And that's why when you're out recruiting, you're watching guys, you might see him do one thing, and the question is, why don't they do it more? In most situations, they haven't been asked to do it more, or either they're not in shape where they can do it more. And so when you're evaluating those guys, and you try to spend as much time with them as you can to talk to them and just totally generate the conversation to talk about, hey, are you willing to work? Because, you know, you are overweight. I mean, when you're recruiting a guy and you want him, it's hard to tell him, hey, you're lazy, you don't play hard enough. And I will tell you this, my good friend at Davidson College, Bob McKillop, told Grant Williams that. He said, we're not going to recruit you at Davidson because you're overweight and you don't work hard. And when I sit down with him, you know, I said to him, I said, how does it make you feel when somebody's honest with you like that? Because I said, I'm going to be honest with you like that. And he just looked at me and said, well, he's right. And so when you got someone that can be honest with themselves, that's when you know you got a chance to maybe get something out of people more than they might think they have given.
Rick Barnes joining us. Well said. So, Rick, as you mentioned, the program had to pause activities back in November. There were a number of positive tests. I mean, it's so challenging. It's so different. Even you had a positive test. What was it like to go through all of that in that period yourself and with your team?
Well, you know, when mine popped up, that's when we had our you know, it was literally 3 days before the open of the season. And what was really hard for us is watching college basketball get going. And after going through the fall, you know, everybody's itching ready to play. And then knowing that we're going to end up playing 10, 15 days later, whatever it came out to be, was really hard. And, but as I was going through it, I had a number of people reach out, one of them being Tom Izzo. Tom had been through it, and, you know, he had told me what he had gone through with it. And my first couple of days, it wasn't so bad for me. And he told me, he said, be careful around that sixth, seventh, eighth day. And to be quite honest, Jim, that's when it jumped on me to a point that it was probably, honestly, looking back, it was probably a little bit worse than I wanted to say it was. And I do think this, I really do think there's something to be said about COVID fatigue. I think that we're watching some players that have been good players that are struggling, that's had the virus. I think that, and I'm glad Jason Tatum came out and talked about that, because even though you get yourself going, there's some difference to it once you go through it. But it was a tough time for all of us here. And, you know, right now we're testing 3 times a week, and not everyone obviously has tested, you know, positive for the virus. So it's scary every time you go in those 3 days hoping that test is going to come back negative.
By the way, it's really scary. It's very scary. And, Rick, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts and being candid about that, because it is a scary thing for sure. He's the head basketball coach at Tennessee, 6th season there. I want to reiterate, Rick, great to hear your voice. Great to have you back on the show. It had been too long. Good to talk to you. Good luck against Vanderbilt, and it's always good to get caught up. Rick, thanks so much.
Thanks. Appreciate you. Talk to you
later. Appreciate you, Rick, always. Rick Barnes, the damn good coach. Really good coach. I was just thinking how long it had been since he had been on the program, or I'd run him down. Longer than it should have been. So good to reconnect with him. Tennessee's 15-6. They're 25 in the AP poll, and they've got another big one coming up against Vanderbilt on Wednesday night, as mentioned.